Please welcome Jamie Lisso.
Great comic. I've known him for years. He's been on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Let him hear it. Jamie Lisso.
This is weird. The other day I noticed if you watch all the Harry Potter movies back to back in order and really pay close attention, you're a fucking loser.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even sure I was smart enough to live in New York. The other day I tried to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. Holy shit, sometimes I didn't have to read the entire clue to figure out I'm not going to fucking get it. I didn't even need the whole clue. You know, it's like, what Portuguese? I don't know. I don't know one Portuguese thing.
I have a couple of kids back at the house, guys. Not in a weird way. I don't just have a couple of kids back at the house. That would be weird to admit that, you know? But I do. I have two kids at home, and sometimes people are like, Jamie, you have two kids. Do you have a favorite? Which is a ridiculous question, right? You know, obviously I do, you know what I mean? But I would never say anything, you know, because it's weird, because it's my neighbor's kid.
Hey.
Stormin' Normus!
How about this Jamie Lisso over
Look
here?
Look at that. Jamie, it is Lisso. So good to see you again.
You
were here a while ago, but you're back
you.
Home.
You were here a while back. Ago.
I was. I come here once
well,
a year.
Why did you bring me back so soon, then? What was the point?
To sell tickets.
Okay, all right.
How does it feel to be used?
So you have answered my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
Daddy, did you want some sugar and cream?
No, I'll just take mine black. But thank you.
And who wants some toast?
I want some. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Daddy, did you want some toast?
No, I'm trying to avoid carbs right now.
What are you doing?
I don't think you should lie to kids even when you're just playing. Just because kids are gullible doesn't mean they don't deserve to hear the truth.
Dad, I made it by myself. It's gluten-free.
Is it organic? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll have the toast. Happy now, Jamie?
Yes. Miranda makes the best toast.
Oops, I gotta get this.
Daddy, don't go play with me.
But it's Santa Claus.
It's Santa Claus? Tell Santa Claus that I'm a good girl.
I will. I'll tell him right now.
This is comedian Jamie Lisso, and whether you like it or not, you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
Oh, my God.
Whether you like it or not.
Huh? Oh, my God, that's funny.
I like that.
You are now listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Sid Elinick. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
My name is Sid Elinick. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio. Tonight we have a special guest with us, comedian, stand-up comic, writer, actor, producer. You can see him starring alongside Rob Schneider in Real Rob on Netflix. Jamie Lisso, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, guys? Great to be here.
So how was your time in Montana?
It was great, man. Just now when I heard you saying all the things I've done, when you were like, oh, comedian, producer, I started to get really excited, and then I realized it was just me. I had a great time. I had a great time, man. What was the club we were at? What was it called?
Oh, that was the Alberta Bear Theater.
Yeah, the theater.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
I had a great time, and I'm still touring. So, like, I haven't been home since I saw you guys.
How long have you been on the road?
It's been like 9 days. Not too crazy.
Oh, really?
I'm in Arkansas right now.
Oh, cool. I know. You said you're going to Arkansas, and I was like, okay, so he said 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out. I was like, oh, no. That's going to be in the morning time for us. It's like,
the earliest we've ever recorded.
What time is it right now?
No, it's not even that late. Yeah, I mean, it's like literally like almost 11. Noon, but yeah, we like usually 11. Like record like way later.
Right.
But yeah, like that happened before. Like somebody came on the show and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll record this time, and completely forgot about the time difference. Right. They're like rushing, trying to get everything set up and everything. So, yeah, we're kind of getting used to the whole, like, you know, time difference of having, you know, guests and stuff on. But yeah.
Dude, I used to do, I did radio for a while. I did 5 years of being the sidekick on a morning radio show in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was great. It was like a fun little job. And about a year ago, someone in the afternoon show got fired for, they got canceled. They said the wrong thing. They got pulled off the air, whatever. And management called me. Dude, that's an old school phone ring you got there.
Oh, no. I set a timer for you. So you said 15, 20 minutes. So
we did it, man.
Just to make sure.
It worked.
Ahead of schedule.
Yeah, but like, do you have to take your birth control pill? I'm just kidding.
Maybe Marcus.
My girlfriend does that. So like these people call me and they go, the afternoon people got fired. Would you consider doing like a, would you want to like take over the show, you know, and do like a talk show? And it was like, everything they said sounded amazing. They go, it's 3 hours long. That's it. You know, talk radio. They go, you can do it from, I live in Alaska. And then you can do it from Alaska. If you're traveling, you can do it from the road. And I was like, this sounds amazing. And we started like talking and I was so into it. I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do this show. And then one day, I think I was talking to somebody and they go, that's going to be tough though, man, because you live in Alaska. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they go, the time difference.
Oh,
and it occurred to me that it would have been 3 in the morning.
Oh, my
God. 6 in the morning every day.
Oh, geez.
The morning show in New York.
Oh, man.
I was like, okay, I don't think I can do that. That sounds crazy. And so I didn't do it because I did the same thing. I just like forgot about the time zone.
I know we usually record at like, I don't know, 7 to sometimes record at like 2 o'clock in the morning and get that thing edited and put out.
Yeah, like usually when we do it like by, you know, episodes by ourselves, a lot of the time, especially when we first started, was, man, like midnight. Sometimes 2 o'clock hit record, you know, and we'd have, you know, video too. So we were like gung ho back then though. We would have the audio recorded, the video edited, and even a promo made all on the same night.
Oh, damn.
And then I'd go to sleep and go to work the next morning. So we're like,
yeah, we did that.
But now we're kind of like, okay, tone it down a bit, matter, run yourself ragged. But yeah.
Wow.
It was fun. So you were mentioning that guy got canceled. Do you think that's changed your set a lot over the past couple of years?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not really, I don't think I'm a very, I think the word is edgy. I don't think I'm really like an edgy comedian. I think I more just try to make people laugh and I'm not that interested in pushing the envelope. I kind of just want everybody to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know how much it changed me that much. Cause I was never that into like shocking people or I don't even have that strong of opinions, you know? Like I just sort of I go on Fox News sometimes and I do this show on there called Gutfeld.
Yeah.
And I'm on there every 2 weeks. And if you ever watch me on there, like I don't think I've ever said anything that anyone would disagree with on either side. Like I go straight for the joke.
Right.
So I don't know, for me not as much, but for I certainly know what you're saying, and that certainly is affected. So many people I know in comedy. Look at this Rogan shit that's going on. I think the new barometer for success, like if you look at some of the most successful comedians right now, like if you look at like Kevin Hart, and if you put like Rogan in that category, I think the new level of success, the top of the top, is being uncancelable and is not needing anyone else to do what you need to do. So even like a Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
He's so huge, but he wanted to host the Oscars. And then he got whatever, I think it was the Oscars, whatever happened to him, they read his tweets and he could no longer host the Oscars. Joe Rogan's in a position where he doesn't want to host the fucking Oscar. He doesn't want to do any of that shit.
Right.
He wants to do his podcast and that's it. And maybe do some shows and maybe comment, you know, commentate for the UFC. And Dana White, his boss, is one of the most, you know, accepting free speech kind of guy. I think that's like the new top of the top, is where people can say whatever they want about Rogan online. Spotify could drop him right now and it would not affect his life in any way, shape, or form. It might even make it better. They might have to buy out his contract and then he'll end up somewhere else and he might have more money. There's nothing.
Yeah, I don't. It won't affect his platform at all.
Not at all.
Because like everybody followed him to Spotify, even though he was like primarily on YouTube video and then he pushed that over to Spotify and
but like even the thing with him was like he generates so much money for Spotify that literally somebody said, you know, oh, if you don't take him off of Spotify, I'm pulling all my music off of there. And they're like, we'll do it for you. They pulled his music off for him.
Yeah.
And Rogan is still on there. I was like, wow.
Who the hell was that dude? It was like
Neil Young. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Neil Young.
Everyone's like, go ahead, pull it off.
Dude, somebody wrote on Twitter, they wrote like, you know, they do like the fake dialogue. Somebody wrote like, you know, Neil Young, hey, if you don't pull Rogan off of, you know, Spotify, I'm taking all my music down. And the guy's like, what's your name again? Ah, don't even worry about it. We're taking your music down. Whoever it is. Like, there's nothing you can do. Yeah, that was funny. And then Neil Young, then they did some research and found out Neil Young didn't own his music anymore. Like, it had, yeah. He was taking it down and like costing someone else.
Someone else money. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
But he got a few people jumped on board. I can't think of it offhand, but I think like David Crosby, and I think maybe a Taylor Swift jumped on board. There were a few artists who pulled their music off. I don't know though. Joe Rogan is the all powerful man. I know. He's got so many subscribers.
Yeah, right. Like in the podcast world, he's like literally top tier. Like, wow.
Right. You know? We had this. We had a chance to have the number two in the world come on, and we're still waiting.
Who's that? I just lost the audio. Maybe it's me. I can't hear you guys anymore for some reason. I can kind of read lips. I guess playing an elaborate prank on me where you see my reaction to a... Oh, shit.
I'm sorry, man. I forgot. We have this interface, and I usually have a battery pack connected to it, but today I guess I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I knew he was going to do something.
I know, I always mess up something.
He always has a rush to forget one thing.
I'm hoping
thing.
It stays on, because I got it connected to my computer, but I don't know if even if that will work, so we'll see.
I thought it was something to offend you guys. You were just both silent. I was like, oh, shit, what have I done? Thank God it was the battery pack.
Man, we always have, like, hiccups, like, no matter what. No matter how much we prepare, like, right. our first streaming,
at least.
Yeah, the first time we used this platform, we had a... She was a pretty big person, her ghost biker.
Yeah, she has, like, you know, her own shows and stuff, and she does, like, even, like, paranormal, like, research and all that, and even does, like, ghost hunts and that kind of thing. And we had her on the show, and her name's Miranda Young. They call her the ghost biker, you know? And she came on, and I kept telling this guy, you know, like, you know, we'll be fine. We just have, you know, a light set up and this and that, kind of light in the background. And he wanted all the lights on to make sure, because we did not know how it was going to look on the screen, because we never used this before. And the second he didn't even look at the screen, he just hit record, sat down, started talking. And literally all you could see was like our eyeballs. It was so bright. It's like so awful. Like, kept trying to tell him, like, you know, look at the screen.
Right.
You know, he just kept going with it, but we had to like edit it later. But
it was horrible.
It turned out okay.
That's a lot of that happening. Yeah, well. So you co-star along with Rob Schneider on Real Rob, and we saw you in Billings, and I kind of like how you brand yourself as well with Rob Schneider, and always make sure, like, you reference Rob Schneider as your best friend. Is that like your plan? Is that how you like branded yourself?
Yeah, man. It's funny if you look at. I've always been the guy. I've always been a guy behind a guy. Like, even when I was on the radio, I was a sidekick. Someone else like shouldered the responsibility of the show, and I just made jokes. And then if you look at Rob's career, he kind of is a guy behind a guy or beside a guy, if you look at like Adam Sandler. And I've just always really [S2] Right. [S1] Been comfortable in the role of, even when I wrote for television and I was a producer, I was never the showrunner. I was always like the writer behind someone else. And I think I'm just real comfortable with, you know, I don't know if it's worth the added responsibility for the added stress. Like, I don't know if it's worth the extra money for the added, like, I'm just not really into stress. And so I kind of like to be, right. So I, whenever people came up to me after the show, they would always go, what's your name? And I would go, Jamie Lisso. And they'd be like, okay, cool. Jason Lasso. And I'm like, no, it's Jamie Lisso. Like, no, like, but I found out if I said it's RobSchneidersFriend.com, they would go, okay. People would find me, so it just became
a right
as people were walking by to easily have them like remember who I am.
Yeah, right. Like when I first heard you say that, I could not stop laughing. Just like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, kind of basically hang on his coattails, but my website's RobSchneidersFriend.com. I thought that was hilarious.
I don't hear it even after the show. We went and got a T-shirt from you, and I was like, where can we find you? And you said, oh, it's RobSchneidersFriend.com. I was like, oh, you're serious?
Yeah. I got to also buy Adam Sandler's friend's friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, you gave me your email, and I was telling Marcus, I was like, I've been trying to get a hold of this guy, and for some reason, like, the way you wrote the at sign looked like an E.
So
I was typing that in for like 2 days, and I was like, man, this guy probably stiffed me, and he's not gonna
give me the wrong email on purpose.
And then it finally sent, and I was happy about that.
Stiffed you with my bad handwriting.
Yeah, but like, I think it was his wife that I was like, you idiot, that's the at sign.
It's always an ad if it's in front of Gmail. It's rarely a like.
Yeah.
So when you meet people off, like when you get off the stage or they see you not starring in the show or watching you on TV, do they expect you to be funny all the time?
Yeah, it's really rough. I would say I'm not that funny, I don't think, in real life. After a show, I get a little bit, like, it sort of keeps going for me. I love selling t-shirts. I love taking pictures after the show. Right. I really like it. I think it's a really fun thing to be able to meet everybody. And there's no part of it that's hard for me. Like when I talk to people after the show, it's real. I could do it for 2 hours. And, but I do have a thing where when I meet people and I have not done a show and they expect me to be funny, that's really hard, man. Like when people don't think, like, you guys see the show, you go, oh, this guy's pretty funny, and then like you get like my sense of humor or whatever. It's very hard for me, especially with like a girl or something. If you tell them you're a comedian, holy shit, man, it's like, because it's so weird with comedy, like everyone can be kind of funny and everyone's like funny in their real life. It's just that whole thing, like, where you would never be at dinner and meeting new people, and this guy's like, oh, I'm a doctor. And you're like, oh, cool. Could you look at my asshole right now? Like, right. You would never have someone else like do their job.
Yeah.
But with comedians, you're always like, hey, do your job right now. And you're like, okay. Like, it's they do expect that, but it's really hard. Sometimes you just don't. I don't have it, man. You know what's funny? Just like a weird little, you know, the road's kind of lonely. Mm-hmm. And people can get depressed and shit. Like, it seems like a great life, but it's really tough. Like, there's so much time during the day. And I realized, like, if you notice when you asked me to do your podcast, I said yes within like 30 seconds, right?
Right, yeah.
When we did it. And because I found that I made a list of all the things during the day that like make my day easier. And one of them is when we turn on the microphones, it's easier for me to like kind of be funny. And as opposed to if someone came to my door and just walked in, it's easy for me to go like, hey, let's do this for, you know, 20 minutes. It's like a way to like sort of like tune up your brain and warm up. So that's why I agree to do so many. But I would like to do a podcast every day because I feel like it's good for everybody. Like, you have listeners, but it's also, I think you're getting something out of it too by, you know, we tell some stories and make some jokes. And it's like a workout, but for your brain, you know?
Right. Yeah, it is. It's actually pretty fun to do. Like, I enjoy it. You know, I do, like, even when we have like friends on or something like that, especially when we have two friends, they're both named Aaron and they're part of a band called After Horizons, and we have them on. It's like so much fun, you know, just friends just talking and, you know, just having fun and everything like that. It is, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. We had our dad on a while back too, and he was telling like UFO stories and Bigfoot stories, and it was kind of, and it was kind of like our way to like cement him into those stories for like our kids and our grandkids. Right. And I think in a way too, for our children, for doing this is like a way to have them, they can have that in the future to show their kids.
Yeah. Have a record of it. That's awesome.
Right. But it really is. It's really fun to do the podcast, and I'm sure for you to jump on other people's podcasts is really relieving. What do you do on the road to, like, when you're out there driving, what do you do for fun?
Dude, when I'm driving, I drive most of the time with Rob. And so we just did like 8 days where I was driving. I'm alone right now. I'm doing shows by myself, but we, you know, we do a lot of business in the car. Like, he'll make a lot of phone calls. He'll throw jokes out at me and we'll try to like write jokes when we're driving, or it's fun, man. I'll get to listen to like him talking to Sandler or Chris Rock, or it's like really a fascinating world, like the Rob Schneider world. And when I'm by myself, man, when I'm like I've listened to tons of podcasts. I do listen to Rogan. I listen to Tim Ferriss. I listen to tons of audiobooks. I'm going through a Joe Dispenza phase right now, listening to every book that guy ever wrote. And and then when I get to a place, I find a really good coffee shop and I try to find a hot yoga place. And that's what I do. You know how glamorous my life is, man? The Super Bowl was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I got invited, like, the club. invited me to a poker tournament, but I don't drink.
Yeah.
I knew it would be a lot of drinking, so I wasn't sure if I wanted to go. I spent the Super Bowl in the fitness room at the hotel. I was alone with the Super Bowl on the TV, and I just like rode the exercise bike and then did a bunch of stretches, and it was the best. It was the best night. So great. That's like sometimes, what my idea of a good time is.
Right. Sometimes just avoiding that is a good thing sometimes.
Right.
Do you have any, like when you go on stage or something, do you have like any like a ritual? Do you have any superstitions about anything like that? Or,
you know, it's a good question, man. I'll tell you something. I really used to have rituals, and it would be, I felt like I needed a little power nap. Say the show's at 7 or 8. I felt like I needed a 15-minute nap at 5 or 6. And then I needed to listen to an entire set from the week before. I would record all my sets, and I need to listen to the whole set and then sort of like go through my notes. And then I would always drink like this one kind of tea and then go. And I had like this crazy ritual. And if anything got interrupted, I was like, fuck. Like if someone interrupted my nap, I was like, oh, this show is going to be shitty. And then when I worked with Schneider, my routine goes out the window, right? I'm RobSchneiderFriend.com. I'm not important anymore. And so I do like whatever he wants. And so he likes to work out right before the shows. And so sometimes we're at the fitness room. It's 6:15 and the show's at 7. It's crazy. Like we'll work out until 6:40 and he'll go, okay, let's meet downstairs in 5 minutes. And you like quickly shower. And it kind of taught me that I don't think I really need a routine. Like this routine I was using that I thought was so important to a good set is completely irrelevant because now I have no routine and it's fine. And I'm on someone else's schedule. I realize that with writing too. A lot of times writers feel like, or even a podcast, you feel like, I got to wait till I'm in that podcast mood or in that like writing mood where I'm hilarious. I got to wait till like, oh, I really feel like sitting down. And I've learned from Schneider because he sort of decides when we do stuff. You can do it whenever you want, even if you don't feel like it. I don't think that being a really having a good writing session or podcast session, I don't think it equates that perfectly with feeling like you're going to have a good session. I think sometimes someone can drag you into it and within 2 minutes you're like, oh, I can, you know, this is what I do. I can perform even if I didn't feel like it at all.
Yeah.
So my routines are kind of all out the window.
Yeah. When we first started this podcast, I kind of dragged Marcus into this podcast.
Yeah. I honestly didn't even know what a podcast really was. I never listened to them or anything like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, jump my podcast. Like, what the hell's a podcast? You know? And so, like, he brought me over and he's like, well, just sit there. You don't have to say much, you know, just sit there. And that's basically all it was me sitting there nodding and forgetting that, oh, shit, there's a mic on you know? I got to, like, say something. But that was, like, the whole first thing. But it was actually pretty fun. You know, I liked it. And it kind of got, like, you know, a pretty good response. You know, friends started coming up, people saying, oh, hey, you know, I checked out that podcast, you know, this and that. And cool. Kind of, you know, it was kind of cool, you know. So I was like, oh, yeah, I like doing this, you know, it's pretty fun. And so we just kind of kept on with it. And yeah, there's even times where he just texts me, like, you know, a half hour before, like, dude, let's do an episode. I'm like, all right, let's go do it, you know.
Like today, dude, we dragged you out of bed at the crack of noon.
He was at work.
No, I was actually at work. Oh, shit. Yeah, I was at work, but, you know, I told my boss and stuff what I was doing. They're like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. You go ahead and take off time and go and do that and, you know, that's whatever. Great. And, you know, whenever you're done, you know, just go ahead and come back in, you know, no problem. So I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. Job, that's pretty cool. So, that's
a very good job.
So they're pretty lenient. So
I know I answered the door and he's still in his work shirt. It's like a bright orange.
Throw my shirt off, change my shirt.
What is your job? What do you do?
Me, I'm a city worker, actually. I work for the city of Hardin. Okay. So it's kind of like various stuff, you know, like I manage the parks, you know, I even do like road work and stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah. He does garbage too. And here this one time he was at my house and I was bagging up garbage. And I took it out of the can and I didn't tie it up. And I was walking out the door and he's like, tie that up. He's like, I hate it when they do that. And I was like, oh man, I forgot we had a garbage man in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, that part of my job kind of keeps me humble, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I do.
So let me ask you this, man. Can I ask you guys a question? This podcast you do, you had said something about ghost stories or something.
Right.
I invent that in my head. So that's, is that kind of your go-to theme, but you sort of talk about whatever.
Yeah. Like he started doing some, like, you know, just like random conspiracies, you know, like he did a Titanic conspiracy and something like that. And he asked me, like, well, what do you want to do? You know, what do you think's cool? And I was like, well, I always love ghost stories, you know, ghost stories, or, you know, mm-hmm. even like Bigfoot stories, stuff like that. So things I heard growing up that kind of creeped me out. And we yeah. kind of talked about that, and he was like, well, let's, you know, let's do that. Let's try it out, you know, see how it goes. And it just kind of stuck, you know, we just kind of stuck with that whole theme. And, you know, that's just what we're doing right now. You know, it's pretty fun.
I actually started out doing, because I'm a social media marketer, and I do like TV advertisements and stuff, and do production and stuff on my own. And, but I actually started out doing a podcast about like marketing tips for businesses.
Oh,
and
really?
Then I did a few episodes of those. And after that, I was like, eh, I kind of don't feel like doing that for much longer. And my dad, he's really into conspiracies and tells you ghost stories all the time and Bigfoot stories. And we kind of grew up in that element of hearing all these just crazy experiences. And then I was like, well, I could probably do a podcast about that and start talking about those and give our like own views on certain things. But we always try to stray away from like the things that don't really have evidence. So like if we'll find like a video that has evidence or whatever, like, or a cryptid that has some sort of picture, like Bigfoot, there's pictures out there, or supposed pictures. And we'll talk about those subjects and then get other people's views on that. And then we start this conversation about just all sorts of things.
You just made me think of something. I think Bigfoot, it's almost like he only comes around when someone has like a disposable camera. You can tell if somebody has like an HD camera.
He's it's always blurry.
Somebody has a dirty lens.
Yeah, if someone has a dirty lens, dude, he's going to run right across the,
across
the clearing. Right. There was like a crisp picture of Bigfoot that came out like last year, and this radio host posted, and he's like, I thought Bigfoot was blurry all the time. It's like the cameras are getting better.
Even with the cameras getting better, his pictures still look shitty. They're like, no matter what, they're always blurry.
Before we get to, because I know you have a couple, or you have a story of yourself about the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we get to that, I want to ask you about Real Rob and how you guys went into making that show.
Yeah, man. So it's a weird, it's so crazy whenever other writers go like, how can I get my own show? What did you guys do? It's such a weird, unique road that we took. I was doing comedy on cruise ships, which is not a horrible job. It pays okay. It's really hard because you're in the middle of nowhere and you can't, like, your kids can't call you and you can't, it's really like isolating. And so I was in like a weird mood, you know, I was like, God, I'm getting a little bit depressed out here in the ocean. And when we got signal, I had a voice message from Rob Schneider, who he had just come on my radio show. We got along. He had asked me to like open for him at some gig. I did like 5 minutes in front of him and he liked my set and said, we should write sometimes. I was like, okay. And I talked to him like here and there. He was doing like the roast of Quentin Tarantino, and I wrote some jokes for him, but it wasn't anything consistent. It was just this cool thing that I would do every month. And then I get to Mexico or wherever, and I turn my phone on. I got a message from Schneider, and he says, I got this idea. You know, he had a show on CBS recently, but like 8 years ago, called Rob with an exclamation point. And it was just not that great. He felt like the network really watered it down, and they didn't handle a lot of the race stuff very well. They it was bizarre. Like, his wife was, you know, in real life was Mexican. His wife is Mexican, and they were trying to hire someone that wasn't Mexican. It was just real.
Oh my God.
And his wife is Mexican. And so he's like, what if we did this show and my wife played my wife? Because she is Mexican. Why don't we just have her play it? And then we do whatever we want, and we write a script that, like, it's real. Like, it's all the shit that really happens without, and you can make episodes different lengths. If it's just like a book has different length chapters, like, fuck the network. Let's just do Netflix, where, if you know, chapter 3 of a book might be 30 pages and chapter 2 might be 5. Why do they all have to be 22 minutes? It's not necessarily the best way to tell a story. And so we said, let's try this. And so we wrote all these scripts and we went and got, I think we tried to get like some investors. We didn't go the typically you write a pitch. It's one piece of paper. You sit down with all the networks and you say, we want to do this TV show, and you try to get money if they like it. And then you film a pilot, and then you see if people like the pilot, and you get more money and you do the series. Yeah. We wrote and shot the entire series without, I think we got one or two no's on the pilot, whatever networks that was. And Rob said, let's just make it. And so we kind of put some feelers out to get investors, and we had some people that were going to invest. And then Rob was like, I don't think this is going to be that expensive. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to own the whole thing. We're not going to get investors. So Rob Schneider financed the entire season of this show, like season, and I mean financed it. Like,
wow.
Some mornings we would be at Costco buying K cups for craft services.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, we would buy the snacks for, like, we didn't even have a craft service guy. It was me and Rob with the giant shopping cart, and we would like set up craft service. We did everything. And then we, after it was done, we sold it to Netflix, and then it did okay. And right before, like maybe like 6 months after it aired on Netflix, they called and said, we want to do season two. We want to make it a Netflix original. And so we did season two with money. Like, they gave us the money, and then we were able to, with a little bit less stress, you know, we hired a guy that brought the coffee to us. We had to upgrade different things.
Right.
And then, but that's how we kind of got that one on, was just like a really weird, and you're not supposed to do that. That's probably the best advice anyone can give. It, like, not the best advice, but I think the most common advice is, don't spend your own money and don't spend too much of your own time on a project. That's sort of like your, mm-hmm. like some common advice you might get. Like, if you're going to pitch a show, write a one sheet, see if anyone likes it first, you know, get money from people once they like it, like spend that just a little bit of time on the one sheet. But dude, right. There's stories everywhere where you do the wrong thing and you do the opposite. You spend $2 million and you might lose $2 million, but your show gets on Netflix. So I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is.
So how much of that show was based on real events? Like, was any of those episodes based on things that actually happened?
Oh yeah, man. Like, so much of it is real. I don't know if you saw the episode where Rob tries to give me, like, I'm going to get acupuncture from this magical guy that's really good at it. Right. Find out the guy's retired or he died, and then Rob tries to do it himself. That is 99% true.
Oh my God.
That is, like, there are lines in that episode that are, I took from that his wife said to me, I put in the episode, like, and it was, dude, it's, you know what? So it's not even acupuncture. We changed it to acupuncture.
Yeah.
Do you know what cupping is?
Oh, is that like the
with the hot cups they put on your back and
on your skin and whatnot?
Yeah, and so have you ever heard of this is making me laugh. Have you ever heard of cupping with extraction?
Say no. That again.
It's called cupping with extraction. It's cups that go on your body.
Okay.
But then there's a needle, and it extracts blood from your body. It's like you, the things are filling with blood. It's like a professional should probably do this. Somebody with some sort of degree, at least like 2 weeks of college, like a hairdresser. And, and so Rob takes me to this guy. He's like this magical guy. He's done this for Shaquille O'Neal and all these famous people.
Right.
You got to see this guy. He's dead. We try to find him. He died years ago.
Oh, man.
Rob says, hey, when the guy died, he, you know, like in his will, they gave people stuff. And he goes, he gave me a kit, like one of the kits with the needles, and the I got it in storage. And so he literally is like dusting off. There's like dust and shit. He's like, I can do this. I've seen him do it a million times. I can actually, which is like crazy logic. That's like going like, oh, I've had my hair cut a few times. I'll cut your hair. Okay.
Yeah. Like going to the dentist again. I know I got my tooth pulled before. Hand me those pliers. I know what I'm doing.
I've seen him the same logic. Before. Yeah, I've watched this guy pull teeth. And then like his wife is like, I think her exact words were, I've gotten tattoos before, but I don't know how to give a tattoo. Like, you can watch people.
Right.
And so she stopped him from doing that to me. But in the show, it's almost completely true, except for the, like, we actually let him do it. But I mean, that all happened.
And he was about to do that to you.
Yeah, dude, the episode where he, we have one episode called VIP Treatment. I think it's season two, episode
four. Oh, yeah.
And it's where Rob realizes there's levels to fame. And hanging out with someone famous is so crazy. I've seen him at 4:45 p.m. say, oh my God, I got to go to the DMV and get a new license. Well, it closes in 15 minutes. You can't go to the DMV if you're at your house 15 minutes before. Like, you have to go to the DMV for hours. You can't, you know. And we drive to the DMV and get there 1 minute before it closes, and he leaves with a license because, like, people recognize him.
It's wow.
Crazy life. And then he and the opening scene of that episode, he's driving through. It's not funny. He's driving through. It's a guy with his car. And yeah, the cops come and care more about him than the guy he hit.
Oh, right, yeah.
They step over the body and go like, Rob, are you okay? Like, hitting someone can be very stressful. That's 1,000,000% true. That absolutely happened. That was
Did that really happen?
Yes, that's 100% true. He hit a guy. The guy's okay.
That didn't that happen in Vegas, wasn't it? When he hit a guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah.
100% true. And then we're sitting at his kitchen table, and I say, we're writing that episode and we needed an ending. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if at the end of this episode somebody more famous than you turns you into the common person? So like I said, what if Spade comes in to the emergency room and he like cuts in front of you in line? And Rob picks up his phone, and I was new to the whole, I'd only been working with Rob for a couple months, so like I'm still like starstruck. Rob goes, oh, okay, and he calls Spade. And he goes, hey, would you do, he reads him the scene. He goes, my friend Jamie wants to do this thing where you, and Spade goes, okay. And then 6 months later, just because I said his name, he's on set. So I was like, this is crazy. I could have said, said like Jesus Christ. I could have met anybody.
Oh yeah, let me call him really quick.
But it was so nuts, man. Like all these things, you could just come up with stuff, and then like 6 months later, you're like really filming it. It was so surreal.
Yeah. Wow, that's insane.
It's just funny that like it makes that show that much more funny knowing that like a lot of these things really happen, you know. I think like one of my most favorite scenes, it gets me every time I see it, is when you're putting on the bear suit and claustrophobic and he's like slowly talking you into it. Yeah, and the second that zipper hits the top, you just flip out and start going nuts. That like literally kills me every time I see it, man.
It's just like grabbing so you and hilarious, kicking you down the stairs, and just tosses you.
Dude, that was the first scene we ever filmed. That was like my first act
really
ever.
Oh my like, god.
It was just... film was like the claustrophobic thing.
Yeah.
Where he's saying, I remember we wrote that like on the set. We wrote the thing about claustrophobia, the gayest of all phobias. Like that thing, that was like a last second write-in.
That is like honestly so hilarious.
Then you get pulled over at the end and your bear suit smells like booze and cops pulling you out of the car.
But yeah, man. Are you like planning on doing like any more acting or anything like that? Because you are like really so good at it, man. It's like hilarious. You're like, one of the like funniest part of the show, man, is like you just being like this goofy assistant that's just, you know, can't do anything right. And he's always getting like the shit end of the stick. And it's like so funny. Like, do you plan on like continuing like acting?
Dude, I do, but it is a hard, it's of all the things I do, like I guess I write and I do stand up and I do punch up and I also do acting. It's the hardest one as far as getting like really good gigs like that. Like that's like to get a recurring role on a series like that. It took me being friends with Rob, a guy quitting. I just happened to be, it's all like these weird things that happen to get that role. But man, it is my, of all the things, it's my absolute favorite. Thank you for saying that. Cause it is like, it's my favorite thing to do, to the point where I've been talking to some guys about doing something like really low key, just like we're talking on a podcast to get like some out there. I want to do something. I don't care if it's on my Instagram. Like I sort of want to write a little series and a mini, just because it's so rewarding and so fun. It's hard. Like I'll get auditions for like gigantic things, which is great. But I think like in the meantime, I want to do something that I have kind of control over, just like we did with Real Rob. I'd love to do something where I like write a little script and just do it just for the love of acting. Cause man, I miss it so much sometimes when I don't get to do it.
Yeah, cause like, you were just kind of thrown into it, right? You weren't like, you didn't have no experience acting or.
Oh no, man. They gave me a role and it was this role of like Rob's opener on the road. Mm-hmm. And then I was in like two episodes and then I made the decision to cut those scenes. I was reading the script and I thought, I don't think we need Rob doing stand-up in this show. It seems like it doesn't help the story in any way. I think we should cut it. And so we cut it and then I'm like, holy fuck, I just cut myself out of the show. Like I was going to like the good of the programming and then I realized I cut my part out of like, what am I doing? But it was the right call. But I was like, oh my God, what have I done? And then I think it was 2 weeks before we started shooting, we had some actor that was going to play Rob's assistant and he got a movie and he bailed out. And then This is a true story, and it sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm lying or making a joke. I'm at Rob's house, and I'm making tea. Everybody wants a tea, and so I'm, like, making teas. And then Rob and his wife are at the table, and they're kind of brainstorming about losing this actor. What do? We got to film in a week. Who's going to – and Rob says, who's going to play my assistant? We need someone to play my assistant. And as he says that, I bring over two cups of tea. And I'm like, do you need any sugar or cream or anything? And then I walk away, and Rob's like, hey, you read for this part. And I'm like, okay. And so I – no nerves, no like, oh, you have an audition Thursday at 4, you got to wear whatever. I'm just wearing
yeah.
– I sit down, I go, what do? He goes, do this scene with me. Okay. I open it up, and I'm like, yeah, I – you know, dude, you have no idea how much stuff I do for you. I did the, yeah, I'm almost pretty sure I did that. And we just do the first scene, and he's like, okay, change the guy's name to Jamie, and you're doing this role. And I'm like, okay. And so I like
go with the flow,
kind of going with it.
And then like they go somewhere, like they leave the house, and I'm up to the computer, and I'm changing the guy's name to Jamie, and I'm like, did I just fucking get a role in this? Am I in a sitcom? And so I like call my mom. I'm like, I think I'm in a sitcom. You know that show I wrote for? I go, I think I'm in it now. And she's like, what? Yeah. And I go, yeah, I don't know what's happening. And I call my wife at the time, and it was nuts. It just happened like so.
It's like, mom, I made it, huh? That kind of phone call.
No time to get nervous. Like no time to even think about it. Right. It's like, oh, okay. That's crazy.
How much do you think you relate to the real Rob Jamie?
A little bit, man. A little bit. And sometimes I think Rob thinks the show is real and I'm really his assistant.
Starts asking you to do random things.
Oh, dude. I swear to God. You'll see me carrying his bags sometimes and I don't mind. Like we went to CVS yesterday and he wanted like nail clippers and we pull up. He's like, can you stop at a CVS for some nail clippers? Yeah. We pull into CVS and he's like, yeah, so just get like a small pair. And I'm like, I'm the guy that gets the clippers. You're just being, but then I realized he's not doing it to treat you like an assistant. He's having you run in because if Rob Schneider goes into CVS, it might take an hour to get out.
Yeah. Right.
Because people will want pictures. It's crazy. So I do a lot of stuff for him, but he does a lot of shit for me too. We just have like a weird symbiotic relationship. I open for him, and this is a gig that so many people want, like that I get to open for Rob. It's the greatest gig in the world. And so I think because we're friends and we help each other out and stuff, that's why he continues to give me the slots, you know. But there's some truth in there, man. I'm kind of I feel like an idiot sometimes. What did I just do that I feel really stupid? I just did something that I felt so dumb. I wish I could remember. It was so embarrassing. Dude, I do that Fox News show where I go on and I talk about, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I talk about like the stories of the day. I don't know if you've ever heard of the show, but it's called Gutfeld. It's on Fox News. It's like the least political of all their shows, but there's some.
Right.
And it gets like 2.3 million viewers last time I was on. It's like a show. And so I get these topics at noon and it's like, oh, you're going to have to talk about Biden said something about the South African countries and there's new vaccine mandate. You guys, I don't fucking know what they're talking. I don't know what they're talking about. So I have to not only write jokes, I have to figure out like what they're talking about. So I have to research the story to get a baseline knowledge of like what we're even talking about, and then I have to do these jokes and sort of like pretend I'm. I feel like I'm almost at times pretending I'm smarter than I am because I've just researched all these things. Like people will message me, like I'm in my family, and go, "Man, I had no idea you knew all about like all this stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't at 11." I did the show before. I'll forget as soon as we stop filming. So sometimes I feel like I feel like an imposter.
Do we do that constantly with this?
Oh,
like,
man, I know.
Half the time we don't even know what the hell it's about. He just give me a subject, okay, and I just research it in a day and come on and talk about like I've known it all my life. Right. So like we do that too.
Yeah.
Sound like a professional at nothing we have no idea about.
Well, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about is, I guess it wouldn't be politics, but it's the United States putting out UFO footage. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I was excited about it. I mean, I was like fascinated by it. I
Are you a believer?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys used to listen to, like, I was a huge Art Bell guy. Do you remember Art
right,
Bell?
Yeah. I loved Art Bell.
Because, like, I think you're much younger than me, but it used to be just Art Bell would host Coast to Coast. There was no satellite radio. There were no cell phones when I used to do comedy. And so I would listen to the only station that came in strong was Art Bell. You could drive from New York to L.A. and almost when you lost it, you could find it at every city in the whole country. And then it went to, like, whatever, George Norrie and I don't remember who the new guy is, but yeah, man, I've always been a believer that there's so much space out there that something else has to be. I've always been.
There has to be something. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you know, like Art Bell, I was listening to Art. I used to do a joke about it, but no one knows who Art Bell is. So it wasn't funny, but I was listening to Art Bell once at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he used to do this thing called, I forgot what he called it, but he called it like Wild Card Line or unscreen phone calls. And he was just a guy in his house and he would just like answer the phone. Normally there's a screener. What do you want to talk about? Where are you from? Filter out the crazies. They put it up on a board. He, you know, the host can see it. Not Art Bell. He's alone in his basement in Nevada, wherever the hell. He uses the phone. Hello. And this guy calls up and he's just mocking Art, you know, like Art Bell's like, hey, you're on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Go ahead. And the guy's like, yeah, dude, I'm having breakfast with a ghost right now. Yeah, man. They're real. He just like makes fun of Art Bell. And Art Bell hangs up the phone and he goes, listen, guys, I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate the insults, the joke. I do unscreened calls here because I have a show and I know the content can sometimes be strange, but we take it seriously. And this is a show that we take seriously and I would appreciate it so I can continue to do unscreened calls. I would appreciate it if everyone take this a little bit more seriously. Okay, now I'm going to go to line number four where we're talking to werewolves. Hello, line number four. And then he goes to a line where only werewolves are allowed to call this one number. Come on, this is serious. God. This is actually like a werewolf on line three. Just a minute. But yeah, I'm always.
Oh my God.
But is it not crazy that they released that footage? Dude, and isn't the, not to get political, but isn't the UFO thing, there's a few similarities to what's happening as we get information from the government about vaccines or COVID, right. Things that are absolutely conspiracy theory, 10 years later are absolute facts verified by the government and everyone they mock saying there's aliens. Well, that guy wasn't crazy. Like they were fucking lying to you. You know,
right. Yeah, like literally the entire time they're saying, you know, we can't talk to you about that. We can't talk about that. Or no, that's not real. And all of a sudden mid COVID, they're like, you know, this is a real UFO. And everybody's like,
it's like,
I remember telling them it's the perfect
time to do it when everybody's freaking out about something else and put out aliens are real or UFOs are real. Dude,
it's the perfect time. Like if there's ever an active earthquake, that's when you tell your girlfriend you've been cheating on her. You got to make sure something else is going on. It's fine. Whatever you do, it's fine.
No repercussions after this. Right. We're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of strange, though, because they're putting out some crazy videos like all the time now. And the more you see these UFOs coming out, it's like making you think that maybe they are kind of misleading you from something, or maybe they're...
Would take your attention off of it.
Right, take your attention off of it. Or they're trying to put out these UFOs in a time of all this COVID stuff happening, saying like, okay, so we're finally going to acknowledge UFOs in a time where everyone's paying attention to something else.
Mm-hmm. It does seem
like so many ways, like so many different like ways that this could be, you know, a tactic or something like that. And it's just, I don't know, man. It was kind of weird that they actually chose that time to do it, but. Like a part of me kind of felt like maybe it's because somebody put that out, you know, saying, you know, this is real and everything like that. And they're just kind of like confirming it, but they never really confirmed anything like that before, which made it really interesting, you know.
Do you believe they're alien or do you believe like they're another country? Like, where do you stand on that?
I just kind of believe they're alien. And I don't think I'm that well read on the subject. Did you see that documentary? The one that was called like Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind or something.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
It's on Amazon.
On Prime?
It's
a good one, right? Like it's really good. And when I started watching it, everything kind of made sense. The most interesting thing to me was how if the government and other governments, if we can view alien life and UFOs as an enemy, if we can reframe them as an enemy, we can get all the money we want because it's in the name of defense and defending the human. And so like it makes it really easy to do this earthly thing of like get this money and be greedy. And the whole thing, I don't, the thing about, they said UFO abductions, like anyone with a story of UFO abductions, that really happened, but it was our government giving someone an abduction story, like giving them that experience. So they would then go around and say these things about, I just thought that was so, to so me, it's so believable to me and so possible that we would do something like that.
Yeah, this is a subject me and him argue about constantly.
I know. At first, Marcus was a believer of aliens, and then now he's like, no, aliens are a plant growing on another planet or something. I'm like, hold on a second. You don't believe in the little...
Like gray, I don't want to. I'm like, man, I don't want to believe that. You know, there's something like humanoid out there that's human-like that can fly this craft. You know, and it's like way beyond our technology. You know, and like I told him, like, you know, man, I want to believe that it's, you know, government. You know, and these are just their, you know, their crafts or their tech that they're testing and stuff like that. You know, but every now and then I see something I'm like, then a person can't fly that. They would literally turn into mush at that speed. So what if it's like a drone or something? So I always try to think that it's like more so government or military, you know, and he's always arguing that, no, it's an alien. You know, like, it's his answer for everything.
I love aliens, but they scare the hell out of me. Like yeah. I'll do like a binge on YouTube for like an hour about aliens and then I have to have my wife walk me outside to throw away the garbage.
Isn't there some comfort though that if there were aliens, if we're to say these crafts are built by someone more intelligent, we could then say they probably could destroy us if they wanted to. I feel like there's something to be said for it. It seems like they're if they exist, that they're friendly. Have you heard the stories about, it might have been in that documentary, where someone's about to launch nuclear missiles and they suddenly don't work? And this has happened more than once after like some sort of weird UFO sighting. The nuclear missiles don't launch. I got to get some.
There's like sightings. And I think, I forgot he was a political figure. And anyways, he was talking about how they're seeing these UFOs coming along to the silos and shutting down their missile systems.
Yes.
And that's scary.
I didn't talk to him about this yet, but there's actually documents of like where they're testing nuclear, you know, nuclear bombs and stuff like that. There was UFO sightings afterwards, so there's a theory that maybe they were testing them so many times because they were trying to lure these UFOs in.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Interesting. And like I thought that was really, you know, really interesting. And we were gonna do an episode like on USOs and UFOs and stuff. And I thought I'd tell them then, but that's one thing I thought was really interesting. I've never heard that before till like last week, I think, is when I came across that. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
We were actually gonna do an episode on Christopher Columbus's journals because he has a UFO sighting.
Really?
Yeah, and it talks about one coming out of the water, and it has lights all around it.
Oh,
and
damn.
Yeah, and he's like the founder, and he's like freaking writing all these crazy UFOs. Like, this guy was crazy, but now it's like,
and you sound sane, right?
Right. And now, if you talk about UFOs, you're not so crazy,
yeah,
right?
As opposed to like 2 years ago, where you talk about UFOs and you're a crazy person and you're a weirdo, and
but isn't now that it's like strange. Yeah, it's so strange. Even like not to go back to the COVID thing, but if you said COVID had some kind of, like if it was created in a lab, if you had said like there was any kind of possibility that there was some sort of lab connection a year ago, you were like a crazy person. And now it's pretty well, like that's like an accepted, isn't that so interesting?
Yeah. How
once conspiracy, all the others, if you Google conspiracies that ended up being facts, there's a good solid list in there.
There is like quite a bit, you know, and so like that's, you know, people always try to like talk to us about that now, you know, like they sometimes randomly they'll come up and ask random questions like that. I'm like, I'm not a professional, you know, it's just like some stuff I research. And if you're not looking into that, like you're like really fully trust your government, that's like kind of
right now. So I think it's probably important.
Dude, this comedian, that's a great point. Yeah. Oh, sorry. This comedian I saw made, it was a funny joke, but he made such a great point. He said, I don't trust people that don't believe in any conspiracies.
Yeah.
I don't trust people that believe in no conspiracies. And he said, because I have one kid, one child. I lie to that motherfucker all the time. I don't tell him the truth. About imagine if you had millions of kids like us.
Yeah.
Well, you have to tell a couple lies to keep shit in order.
Right.
I guess that makes sense.
It's like, it's funny, but they're like, wow, there's a lot of truth to that joke. Yeah. That's what makes it funny.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. And then my, but, we went to, I apologize. Cause I don't feel like I really have a ghost story, but me and Rob did a tour of Colorado and where is the Stanley Hotel? What city is that? Do you know?
I was just there. I forget.
What's it called? The I forgot the name of it.
The Stanley or the Shining Hotel or the
Stanley Hotel? Okay,
the Stanley Hotel.
It's in Estee Park, whatever that. However you pronounce it, something Park. Anyway, we're in Colorado, and everybody's saying, "This is so funny to me." But so we're about to get to this Stanley Hotel. And we're 2 hours away. We're driving and we stop at a gas station. Everyone recognizes Rob. Hey, can we get a picture? Sure. Where are you guys headed? Oh, we're going to do two shows at the Stanley Hotel. Do you guys know this is where, that's where they filmed The Shining? Oh, really? That's interesting. Wow. Okay. We drive a little farther. We stop to get a snack or something. Oh, it's Rob Schneider. Hey, where are you guys headed? Oh, we're headed to the Stanley Hotel. Hey, did you guys know that's where they filmed The Shining? Like, we get it. Like, just everyone's telling us. Like, 30-year-old kids are like, do you know that's where they filmed The Shining? Yeah, we got it. Like, everyone, we get it. And just everyone was telling us. And then so I thought this, I did a joke on stage there that I can never do again. I love when there's a joke that only can live for one night. And I did a joke that night where I said, I go, hey, the Stanley Hotel. And I go, did you guys know this is the place where they shot the guy that kept fucking telling people this is where they got the Oh my God. It just lives for one night. And then what's funny is I thought it was really interesting. And I go, and then we heard that Stephen King wrote The Shining. Okay, so like I go to the manager, is this where they filmed The Shining? He goes, no, it's a rumor. I go, what? 100 people and one child just told me this is where it's a right. rumor. And he goes, yeah, it was like Stephen King stayed here and he wrote The Shining. And I'm like, really? Okay. And then I go to someone else. I go, that's kind of weird, man. I thought The Shining was shot here. And it turns out Stephen King stayed here and wrote The Shining. This other person goes, yeah, you know what? That's not really true either. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, he wrote the miniseries, The Shining. Like, it just kept getting like less and less.
Right.
Less and less of a good story. And then like the last person was like, yeah, Stephen King just shined a flashlight here once. Nothing's ever happened. Like nothing ever. So I actually did and then they said they did say, I was talking to these guys in office, they said there's like tons of, you know, reports of weird shit happening in the Stanley Hotel. They said like once a week somebody says something weird. And as I was walking to the office, I was like, oh, that's really cool. The guy said it was this little office with a bathroom attached. And I had to pee, so I go, can I use the bathroom? And the guy goes, I got to warn you, of all the rooms in this hotel, this one is the most haunted. There's been more reports of weird activity in this room than any other one in the entire grounds. And I go, that's cool. And so I go in and I use the bathroom, and then I leave and I go, hey, guys, just want to let you know, if it starts to smell weird in here, probably a ghost took a shit back then. that's kind of, he may have wiped his ass on a towel. I don't know what happened in there. This place is haunted. So that's kind of a ghost story. I did, so truthfully, I didn't.
Oh God! I didn't this really, whole week I was like, he's got a ghost story to tell us.
I don't really have a ghost story. I didn't really see anything that they did say. A lot of
I think that was like way better than an actual ghost story, dude.
I'm so sorry. I wish I had more details, but the only weird UFO thing was I was driving down a street once in the middle of the night. And I was really tired. And I saw like a crazy sunset. And I was driving. It was like this big red. And I was like, what a beautiful sunset. And I was really tired. And then it was gigantic, like almost bizarre, like how big it was. And then I drove a little bit farther and realized it was 4 a.m. and it was too early for a sunset. And I remember being like, what the fuck? Like, what did I just see? Like, I really thought it was morning. Like, I go, oh, it's morning. Mm. I looked right at it. And then I kind of thought nothing of it. And to be fair, I was listening to a lot of Art Bell at the time.
Right.
But then I'm not making this up, I don't think. I hope it's my memory serves me correctly. Then I heard other people, I think it was on Art Bell or on like some kind of other podcast, say that they saw this weird giant thing that looked like the sun the night that I saw it. And I remember thinking, like, wow, that's so crazy. I saw, I mean, it looked like a sun. And I thought it was like, I thought it was 7 a.m. It was like, it was for sure the middle of the night. And then because it got dark again. And I remember thinking, like, why is it not light? Like the sun came up. And you know how you look back and you go, fuck, I was so tired though. I don't know. But it was definitely bizarre.
Wow. Like I actually, I'm actually coming across a lot of stories like that.
Really?
Literally. Like, yeah. And somebody told me a story like that a couple of months ago out in like, he was staying out, like out of town and this is like a farm town. So there's no lights out there or anything. And he said the exact same thing. Like he looked out like into the field and stuff. And he said he saw something that was glowing kind of reddish orange. He said it looked like the sun. He said,
wow, that's exactly.
And he said it was out there for a long time. And he said it also started changing shape, which was, you know, kind of odd. And I was like, well,
wow.
He told me that. And I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty crazy. You know, like, you know, hearing a story like that. And then his girlfriend walked up and literally told me the exact same thing. She saw it too.
Really?
So I was like, well, yeah. So more than one person saw the same exact thing. And he was
kind
of freaked out. He said, he was like, I was literally sitting there with my shotgun, like watching this thing because it kind of creeped him out. He didn't know what the hell it was. You know, he said, I was sitting there with my shotgun for a couple hours. Like, I'm not taking my eyes off this field because I don't know what the hell that was, you know? And he literally said they sat there till the sun started coming up. And so I was like, man, like, and I'm starting to find a lot of stories like this. So it's pretty cool that you actually have a story like that too. Like seeing something that looks like kind of like the sun or something.
We had a theory on the podcast because there's a video on YouTube. If you look it up and it looks like there's a UFO that goes into the sun and it's like sucking out like the gas or whatever from the sun. And then it just shoots off. And I was like, well, what if, cause there was a UFO sighting in Japan and there's airline pilot. And he said he can feel heat coming from this UFO. And it's nighttime. And our theory was, and maybe this happens too with the brightness, is what if them pulling that power from the sun makes them like bright or warm and things like that.
Right. Yeah, and I have no other explanation for like seeing what I saw. Like at first I thought it might have been the end of my crack pipe glowing. I remember I was I have no explanation. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. Yeah, it could be like an energy.
Well, I don't want to hold you too long. I don't know how much time you got, but
yeah, and I've probably got a couple more minutes, but it's been fun talking to you guys.
Yeah, we went over. I know you said like 15-20 minutes. Oh, so yeah. I was like, okay, that'd probably work too, but you stayed longer than 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, man. I always say 15 is funny in case it's really shitty and I have to.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, he said 15-20 minutes. Like, he probably thinks we're going to be douchebags or something.
Oh, no. I just always, I've actually never had a bad experience, but I have had, it's not really why, but sometimes I have calls or whatever, and I'm like, shit, I got to go jump on. I got nothing important coming in. So it was perfect.
Oh, okay, cool. And I was looking up on your YouTube and or like your in other interviews, and I was like, well, it's kind of averaging like 15-20 minutes. But I noticed that some of those interviews weren't as like engaging or something. And then I told this guy, I was like, well, he's probably like trying to fill it out and see how well we do the conversation or
talk say 15-20 minutes. Okay, I got to run now. You know that kind of thing. Yeah, he does that, man.
Yeah, I love a podcast. I'm not a huge fan of. My least favorite thing is television interviews. My God, like when you're on a morning news in a town because the time constraints and did you guys see Don't Look Up?
I have not. I've been wanting to see it.
I
heard about it.
You guys are gonna love Don't Look Up. From what I know of you, it's you need to see Don't Look. It sort of talks about a few of the things we talked about, like whether it's cover-ups or the truth or what might come into telling people the truth or reasons to. It's so freaking good. It's incredible. But
and it's,
they do a morning radio thing on there where, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, even though it's part of the big plot, but they do a thing where scientists are on to reveal a very important thing. Mm-hmm. And the morning show people, it's a morning show format. And so there's not even enough time to ask them questions about it. And they just make dumb jokes and then like go to commercial. And that's what it's like for real, though. It's right. hard. Like someone goes like, what's it like to work with Rob Schneider? I have to give like a succinct, like, you know, sound bite. And then we move on. You can't. You know, like, there's no way to explain how we did Real Rob in 7 seconds.
Like, you can't elaborate or anything. They, like, rush you through it and things like that.
Yeah, almost like you kind of have your, like, your answers ready, almost, like, scripted. Is that how it is?
You know what? Yeah, you're, like, I do now because so many people ask the same things. Like, what was it like doing The Tonight Show? Like, what was it like meeting Jay Leno? I have, like, these answers I give. And they're like the most uninspired. I try to like come up with new stuff, but sometimes when I get that same question, I'm just like, okay, I have my 5 second answer, you know, and you just
right.
But on a podcast, it's different.
Yeah, that's one thing we wanted to avoid. Is I was looking at your other interviews, like, I don't want to repeat the same thing and have them do the same.
You little... did, man. It was great. I really, that was great.
So you got to make it different, but yeah, I was watching the reviews on that, and they're talking about how like the media as a whole like misleads, and we did this podcast a while back about all these news stations saying the exact same thing, like the same script,
and like, it's not like words. Even real not like words. Real journalism anymore. It's like literally they gave them all the same script saying you know, say this is important to your town and this and that and you know whatever, and how what fake news was you know how what's the word I'm looking for? Like how bad it can be, I guess.
Yeah.
And it literally, somebody found that like even these small radio stations and stuff were all saying the same things as these big ones. And it was like all, you know, in sync. And it's just so kind of creepy that like when they put all these videos together, it's like they're all saying the same exact thing in, you know, unison. It's just, it's like, wow, it kind of like really blows your mind. And I, you know, did some research and found out a lot of these, even the small news stations and stuff like that, are all owned under this big umbrella corporation. So I was like, okay, so that makes sense now, you know? So.
Yeah, and it's like weird phrases you've never heard before. And now everyone's saying this weird phrase about a story. It's really bizarre. Listened to, what's it, you remember like 1984 by George Orwell? I just listened to the audiobook a couple of weeks ago. It's mind blowing. Like, I read that 20 years ago. I can't even believe how much stuff in there is kind of happening. It's crazy. It's wild.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, he's talking about like the president and like the media and things like that. And it's all coming true now.
Yeah. It's
wild. Right, am I thinking about the right book?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
There's one hilarious part where someone is on stage talking to all the people explaining how they're at war with like Eurasia, this country they're at war with, and we hate them and all this stuff. And then as they're talking in their earpiece, they get intel that like, we're not going to be at war with them anymore. We're going to be at war with these other people. And instead of like stopping and going, hey everybody, this is crazy. Like we're not at war with these people. We're at war with these people. The guy just replaces the word Eurasia with the new country they're at war with and just keeps talking. And he's like, yeah, so anyway, we're going to, you know, Russia, we're going to, and everyone's like, and then they just keep talking and they just all believe it's a different country now. Like they don't even bother, like really like cleverly lying anymore. You just get a new word and everyone will jump on board eventually. And you don't trust, I don't take anything at face value anymore with just all the stuff that's been going on. And
right. You got to do your own research and look around yourself.
Yeah. Isn't it funny though that people say, you know, I'm vaccinated and stuff. I have the vaccine and everything. But isn't it funny how when you hear like a Joe Rogan bring up even like counterpoints to getting a vaccine, I'm vaccinated. I'm not against it at all. Someone will say, Like when you go to a doctor and they go, you have cancer, they'll go like, dude, you have to get a second opinion, get a third opinion. Let's find out what these, but when it comes to someone telling you about a vaccine, like, ah, oh, it's safe. And then you go do your own research. What are you doing? You piece of shit. You know, you think you know better. It's a right. second opinion. Why would you tell me for cancer, but I'm not allowed to, you know,
do with anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. And like if people get more information and do more research and then still get vaccinated or whatever, that's the objective that they want everybody to do. I think it's because they're afraid of the research that they do, the answers they're going to find. Mm. That's where the fear comes in, that you don't want people. No one, think about it. Like there's a show called Finding Bigfoot. It has five seasons. So no spoiler. I'm guessing they haven't found him yet. And right. Isn't it funny that misinformation, people only worry about misinformation when people believe it, when it's very believable. Like no one's going, how is there this fucking Bigfoot show on? There isn't any Bigfoot. Nobody gives a shit that whether there is or isn't Bigfoot. That could be argued that's misinformation where is he? But when it comes to something believable or actually backed by certain scientists or facts, that's when you get shut down.
Like when it's more important.
Yes.
Like not encrypted or anything. Right.
But when it's more important or when there might be validity to it, that's when it gets. Oh, so I saw the Onion, whatever that newspaper is. There's some political version of the Onion. I don't even know what it's called. But the other day they released a fake article that said Americans are now only allowed to hear misinformation directly from the CDC.
Oh my God.
Because it's changed so much. Like since the beginning, it's all changed so much. And it just gets stupider and stupider. Guidelines. You guys were here doing your show at the Alberta Bear, and Rob comes on and he's telling jokes about masks, and there's people in the crowd with masks on, and my sister was sitting in the back somewhere and she was like, man, people just got up and started walking out. They
all had to do it. There was like only like six people that had masks on, but like the second he said something, they're already like, I'm offended, you know, and walk out. Yeah. I'm like, dude, it's a comedy show.
Right.
Yeah. It's their jokes, you know. And
it's good those people are wearing masks. So you can't see them frowning on the way out.
But like, yeah, it's like, it just seems like, you know, a lot of people are getting more sensitive about things like that. Like, you know, even just, you know, jokes or, you know, bits and movies and stuff like that. And people are so sensitive nowadays, you know, even when you're talking about like, you know, the vaccine or something like that, you know, like you tell somebody whether you got vaccinated or not, it's like, because you haven't and they have, it's like automatically strife, you know, there's already a fight there, you know, argument or, you know, whatever, whether you did and they did. And, you know, it's always like a clash. And it just seems like, you know, everybody's just getting so sensitive these days.
That's what I was going to ask you is, do you think that comedy is important to society? Because, I mean, a comic sees things in a different perspective and kind of brings those issues to light in a funny way. Do you think that there's a important role there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, man. It really is, like Rob says, the last place you can, like the last place for free speech. It really is, like on stage. Like even on YouTube, you can get censored or whatever. I don't quite take advantage of it, like I was saying before. Like I kind of just tell jokes about dogs and ex-girlfriends. Right. But yeah, I think it is important. And the mask thing, I've tried to get better at, if I saw someone in a car by themselves with a mask, or I've seen someone on a bicycle by themselves with a mask, I would normally mock that person mercifully. Like that is very tempting to go like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Then you have to realize this person is obviously scared. And that's a person.
Yeah.
And we don't know if they're so immunocompromised that maybe they're riding that bike to deliver something and they're going to come in contact with someone and it's easier to just put it on. Like we don't know what their story is. And so I've tried to get a little more accepting about it. I don't know what that dude's going through.
Anyway. But you always have that in the back of your head, like, what the fuck, you know? Like, right. Why is that guy wearing a mask? Yeah. Like that always happens to me too. Like my wife even tries to say, you know, like, you know, what if they have something like that or not? Another time she's like, what the hell? Why is that person wearing a mask?
Well,
it's always kind of back and forth in your own head, but
slowly becoming normal.
Yeah.
I get bummed because my kids are like, the newest research says that like, if you wear the good mask, if you wear the one of the 95s or whatever, you're almost completely, you don't need to care what anyone else does. They're so effective that you could be talking to someone with COVID They have COVID. You could talk to them for 20 minutes and your chances of getting it are so remote if you're wearing the proper mask, which I think is like great that we know that. But it's also like, okay, well then that leads me to think we should let people do what they want. Like if your mask protects you, then let's not make my kid wear a mask at school. If my kids have all had COVID, so they all have natural antibodies. It was not that bad for them. And every morning it's 30 below zero in Alaska and I got to put these dumb masks on these kids. And I don't quite understand why we're wearing them. They're also the kind of masks that don't work anyway. Like they don't make them wear.
Just comfortable. Yeah, just like it makes people feel better. Yeah.
And if we're protecting teachers, let's get them all that mask that works where it doesn't matter and have them stand away from the kids. And I just am really tired of my kids not being able to smile at the other kids they go to school with. And it just seems like a show.
Yeah.
Right. It's strange.
We don't have that here. You know, they don't make our kids wear masks in school.
Not anymore. Like
not anymore.
Dude, our mandates are gone in Alaska and our school is choosing to have them wear masks. I wrote a letter to the school. I never do anything like I wrote a letter to the school and I said, I tried to keep it real light, but I said, it's hard for me to watch you guys teach our kids science and then not show them what you're supposed to do with science, which is you read the scientific research and then you adjust your behaviors and your rules accordingly. That's what science is. Or like, why the fuck are we doing science? And so I wrote him like this little article. And then I said at the very end, I was like, plus I'm tired of dropping my kids off at 7:30 in the morning and not being able to see their frozen smiling faces, you know? So I'm waiting to hear if they even read my email.
Is it super cold up there? Like I've never been there, but
it's nuts, man. I'm in Arkansas right now and it's not too bad, but in Alaska, it was like 30 below zero when I left.
Oh my God.
It's gone. Well, it hasn't gotten that bad down in Montana, but
like the feels like temperature has been, right, but
it gets pretty cold down here.
It's 30 below, but it feels like you should live somewhere else.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder what percentage of people in the whole world want to leave where they are.
Right, yeah. We live in a small town. Right, so because like everybody knows your business and you know everybody and see everybody, same people every day. And
it's a small town, man. Like everybody knows everybody's business before it hits the paper. You know what the hell happened, who was involved and all that
stuff. That's how small of a town it is. We make the paper like at least once a year for our podcast.
That's fine. My town's like pretty small up in Fairbanks too, and like I think I'm the only person that does any kind of television like in my whole town for sure. And it's really weird because I am I don't care what I look like in public. Like when you have kids, you stop caring about what you look like. Like you don't have time for it. And I was somewhere and I started doing like that Gutfeld show, which gets a bunch of viewers. I was at a soccer tournament the other day and I held the door for somebody and they go like, "Hey, aren't you that guy from that?" And I go, "Oh yeah, nice to meet you," whatever. And then I went back to my seat and I realized I was wearing a pair of sweatpants, which is like a huge coffee stain near the dick area, and I just it's not like I didn't see it either. Oh, I saw it. I was putting it on, but I was like, I'll just keep my hands there when I'm not cheering. And then I was like, man, I gotta start like, because small towns, man, I gotta get my shit together. People are watching me.
Yeah, you get that like small town mind mentality. You're like you don't give a shit about anything.
Right.
You're like, I'll go to the store in sweats and fucking slippers. I don't care.
It's like that's
like, it does that to you.
It's like a town full of Walmart shoppers. Everyone's just wearing random stuff.
Yeah.
That's how it is though. It's like everyone's wearing like pajamas at the store and whatnot. Yeah. This guy bought pajama pants that look exactly like freaking jeans. So like every time he walks in the dorm, I was like,
"Hell yeah!
Are those jeans? Are those real?"
It's like amazing. The way to go. They had like fake pockets. It had real pockets, but not where the pockets were. It like had a design that looked like a pocket, but the pocket was on the side. So I was like, they look like pants, but they were literally pajamas. Like there was even times where I walked out of the restroom and my wife's like, "Where the hell are you going?" I'm like, "I'm not going anywhere." "Why are you dressed?" Like, "These are fucking pajamas, man. They're my pajama pants."
That's a good product to have. The jean pajamas.
So if you want to wear sweatpants in public, just buy those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a whole pajama set that looks like a 3-piece suit. So even if I have to go to like the Oscars or something.
So what got you into writing? Like, did you start there? Where'd you start?
I I've been just like writing my own stand up, and then I really like punching up scripts for my friends, like writing jokes for scripts. That's something that I really love. Like, it's, I don't think I have too many skills, but that's kind of one of the things that I'm kind of good at. Like, I can look at like a movie and punch it up in like an hour, and it's gone pretty well for me. And so like, I just punched up scripts, and then one of the guys, I did everything for free for so long. I just did it as a favor. I would go like, oh, you got a script? I'll punch it up. And so one of the guys I did that for all the time, a friend of mine, he's got on this big show on CBS with like Matt LeBlanc and Kevin Nealon. And he just got me an interview. And then I got that job just from like helping my buddy out. I got that interview. And then, yeah, it's sort of built from there. And then like the Rob thing, it's just like acting, like someone telling you, hey, you got this job writing. And you're like, okay, I've never done that before, but I guess I was up late reading books on that. Every job I've ever had has been like I got hired to write a movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to write a movie, but like every job I've ever had is I get hired to write a movie. And I remember the guy even saying like, yeah, we usually use, what's the guy's name who wrote, he wrote a book called Save the Cat, Blake Snyder, I think his name is. He goes, yeah, man, why don't you write like a rough draft and give us like a Blake Snyder type of thing? And I was like, yeah, dude, I'll have that Blake Snyder thing. I could probably do it by tomorrow. And he's like, oh, that'd be great. And we hung up and I'm like, who is Blake Snyder? Like, I'm thinking, like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? And it's like this guy that wrote this screenwriting book. And so I have this thing due the next day and I'm listening to an audiobook of this screenwriting book. Like, who's Blake Snyder? What are these things? And every job I've ever had has been thrown into it. And the more I talk to people in the business, it's really rare that someone goes, yeah, I'm a showrunner for CBS and I studied show running in college. It's so rare. It's more like, oh, I was a comedian and then I wrote a thing with my friend and I was on YouTube, and there's all these weird ways that we all got to where we're at, and none of them are the same. That's why I know there's some road where you can go to college to write for, a lot of dudes go to Harvard and write for the Lampoon, or there's like that route.
Yeah.
For dumber people like myself, we don't have like the, we don't have that route. It's always a really weird story.
I think it's just like a natural skill that you didn't know you had, and just people recognize that and kind of, you know, hey, why don't you try this? You know, try that. Yeah.
It's always the go with the flow people.
Yeah. And also like find what you're okay at in life and how can you make it work like a job. So like, okay, I make my friends laugh when we go to McDonald's. What could that be how could I get paid to do that? Okay, what if I made those jokes for a script that someone wrote for a network? Like, it's the same exact thing you're doing at a poker game. How can you turn that into like a 6 hour a day job or something?
Yeah. Right. We're trying to make this a six.
We
tried.
That's how lazy I am, by the way. I said a 6 hour a day job. Like, that's how little I'm working from 2 p.m. 6 hours a day. That was a long time.
We tried that once too. We like had an idea, you know, like, oh, let's do like a short video, you know, just because we wanted to try it. And we were talking about, oh, like, what if we did like a video where, you know, I get killed, you know, like something like that, like some kind of like serial killer or something, just something stupid like that. And we were just going to go shoot like just the test footage, you know, just get the lighting and stuff like that. Yeah, scan the area. And, you know, I was wearing some actually okay clothes.
Yeah, you got new boots on, new clothes.
These guys started loading the back of my car with props like bats, this, that, machete. It's like, okay, you know, like close my trunk and we're driving, and they literally start pulling out, you know, cameras and stuff, and okay, we're gonna film this now, you know. And I thought it was just gonna be a, you know, just like kind of like a test footage, you know, what we're doing. These assholes put it out is like literally like a couple of minutes of, you know, me driving, something goes wrong with my car, I'm like trying to fix my car, and I see a guy wearing a mask, you know, and he just starts chasing me through the woods. And there's like other serial killers in there that are his friends. And I literally broke my ribs filming
this. There's a lot of ice out there.
Yeah. It was like wintertime. So like, I was like, oh man, I want to make this fall look, you know, as real as possible. So somebody trips me and like I fall, and I didn't know there was a patch of ice. And you hear me just, oh, you know, that grunt.
No.
and the pain was real, but it like I just wanted to make it look real, you know, for the video, but it was real, you know. I was really in pain.
I think we kept that part in the video because Marcus made this like noise.
That's good.
I was like, that's great. So I turned that thing up and kept it inside of the video.
So it's just like the short video, but like, man, just even that alone, you know, it kind of like have more appreciation for like the kind of stuff you do, because just like a little thing like that, you know, I saw how much work goes into it. So actually do an entire show, like, you know, like real Rob, you know, and stuff like that, or, you know, the things that you do are writing for these shows, man. It's, you know, it's really cool, man. It is.
And you're right. Like, I remember hearing that my dad told me Chevy Chase was really banged up from like all the falls he would do. He said like he has trouble like with it. And I remember thinking like, what? Like I never occurred to me that was a real, I thought it was completely fake and no one would ever get hurt. And I didn't realize like people sacrifice themselves for laughs sometimes.
Yeah.
I was on Real Robin. There was a scene about where I was up on a billboard and I fall off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We had a stunt guy. I was on a billboard in Hollywood, like a real billboard. And the TMZ bus that's in that scene is a real TMZ bus that just happened to drive by. It's like a real, that's all real.
Oh, funny.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and we're like however many feet in the air on this billboard. And I'm up there and I do the scene, and then there's a stunt guy and he falls off. And then they couldn't get the shot right. It just looked so fake. The guy didn't look enough like me that they were like, will you do it one time? And I'm like, and so I ended up doing like three of these falls and I fucked my back up so bad.
Oh man. Oh,
God.
It was like a year issue. It was like a really big deal. Like,
wow.
It eventually, if anybody has back injuries, you got to read Healing Back Pain by Dr. Serno. That's what eventually healed it. But
yeah,
damn, man, it's crazy how like that can affect your whole, like, I was like, who? At the time, it was so important to me that looked good and everyone, no one was mad at me. I wanted to like be a team player. And now I'm like, no, like not anything even close to
get the stunt guy next time.
Like, I cannot. Yeah, you can't risk it.
Did you take time off after that, or just go right back into the next episode or next scene?
I think it was a pickup. So I think we were done and then we went back and filmed some stuff. And so thank God we were done. I don't remember having to work the next day, but I remember I remember my ex-wife, she was pregnant at the time. And I remember we had a day off. We had a day off in like 55 days. And I remember I went to a mall. I drove to a mall and was like, yes, I have a day off. I'm going to buy my wife some maternity clothes. And I remember I couldn't get out of the car and I couldn't buy anything because I couldn't get out of the car. Like, that's how bad it hurt. I couldn't.
Oh, man.
And I had to drive home. So it was like really bad. But then when we would film, I think we might have filmed it. I'm actually having trouble remembering. But I remember just taking a bunch of painkillers and shit before I like figured out like what was really wrong. I would just like get through it. And once I started moving, it was better. It was when I stopped moving that it was,
oh man,
sleeping or all. Yeah,
these guys were all be like, I'll quit being a baby. You know, I'm sitting there like editing the video, I'm like hurting. And then later on, I'm like, maybe I should go to the hospital. Oh, yeah, you got three broken ribs.
Yeah, you had like this big old bruise, guys, you know, on, like, yeah, on,
we'll
his side.
To the hospital. I was like, as soon as we're done with posts, we'll take you to the hospital.
Yeah. But he didn't have to throw himself that hard into the ground, but he did.
I was like, I wanted to make it look good, you know, and I don't want to be like just a little tiny fall where I just roll. I like tripped and I dove, you know, like just to make it look good. And instant regret the second I hit that ground, man.
Ribs are tough.
Yeah.
This is comedian Jamie Lisso, and whether you like it or not, you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
Oh, my God. Whether you like it or not. Oh, my God, that's funny.
I like that. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Sid Elliott. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.